I'm going to continue yesterday's talk, so those of you who are not here yesterday can ask questions if something seems completely mysterious. All of yesterday's talk was designed to lead up to the construction of today's talk, so I hope this will consider this a reasonable payoff. So yesterday I talked about coherent cohomology, and I stated the theorem that I think I will restate that an irreducible automorphic representation whose Archimedean component is in the discrete series, G being the group attached to a Shamur variety, has a natural rational structure over a field depending on various data. Now, X was a choice of maximal compact, which is rational. It doesn't have to be rational, but then it lacks interest. So if we're picking a maximal compact subgroup, or equivalently a point in the symmetric domain that is defined naturally over a CM field. Y is an orbit in a flag variety. The indexation is with respect to Bellinson-Bernstein localization. Eta, infinitesimal character, and pi f, the non-Archimedean part, which is always defined over a number field. And again, as I said, the Galois group, the full Galois group, acts permuting all the data involved. The Shamur varieties are not part of the notation for E, but actually, E, I think, well, E could, you could, I could put the G and the X in the notation, and then it would permute everything in a certain way. So that's the statement. I'm going to draw some conclusions from this. And again, the point is not that a certain part, the relevant part to cohomology, has a natural rational structure, but actually the whole variety, the whole representation. Now, as I indicated at the end and I explained at length to Matt, the enveloping algebra, being the enveloping algebra of a rational group, has its own natural rational structure, which is, from the motivic point of view, the Betti rational structure, is just the natural one. But there's another one, another rational structure, which comes from the choice of the point X, the action by the adjoint representation of the maximal torus, the CM torus, on the enveloping algebra itself, gives a rational structure that's different, and it multiplies eigenspaces by periods of CM abelian varieties. This is just to indicate that there's something a little bit strange going on. But they...
The
So it's a rational structure relative to the action of a certain rational structure on the enveloping algebra. So it's rational as a representation of the enveloping algebra, but the enveloping algebra has a Durham rational structure, something that's...
Not the
most obvious one, right? It can be translated into the obvious one, but it makes the second sentence not quite right. So there's here's the first application. So if you have two vectors that are rational, then their inner product is equal to a rational multiple over this field of some specific presumably transcendental factor. And again, so these are normalized Petersen norms which can be defined uniformly on all the conjugate Shamur varieties for the choice of CM points. So that's without the last step, it's obvious, and one doesn't need all this all the structure.
Q of pi
is not a CM period. Q of pi is something like if you start with a holomorphic modular form, then it will be just the Petersen norm of that modular form. If you start with a if G is a torus, a CM-TORs, then this is some product of CM periods. This is a more precise version of Shimura's theory. Conversely, you can use this as a criterion for rationality, namely, if you have a test vector, if you have an unknown vector in the space, and when you test it by pairing it with all the rational vectors, you get a rational multiple of this period, then the result, the original vector, is also rational. That's useful. That would be, these Q of pi's will appear later on. But I'm going to be working more on a different criteria. So now I'm going to specialize to the Shimura varieties attached to unitary groups or unitary similitude groups. And there are going to be two Shimura varieties, one attached to W, which is of dimension n, and another one of codimension 1. You assume that the orthogonal complement to W prime is one is separate, so W is a sum of Hermitian spaces. And then you get a map of Shimura varieties. Now this is a bit of a cheat because really you need, I mean, just this is to simplify, but really you have G prime cross, let's say it's something like G of U n minus 1 cross U 1 contained in G of U n. So this is similitude groups. You can ignore the G's. You have to attach a Shimura variety both to the UN minus 1 and the U1 in order to get a map. This is just a technical point which can be easily corrected in the formulas. Now, suppose when you pull back the... So remember, we had this parameterization of discrete series by orbits in the flag variety or by D modules with the twisted sheaf with differential operators with this given eta, and also by automorphic vector bundles. So these things are different ways of looking at the same collection of objects. Now suppose the pullback of the automorphic vector bundle attached to one discrete series representation is the automorphic vector bundle connected to another discrete series representation, the smaller group. And moreover, you suppose that each one has a preferred cohomological degree, the degree in which it has non-zero coherent cohomology, and suppose that these things coincide. Then what happens, you can pull back a cohomology class on the bigger Shimura variety and integrate it with a cohomology class in the dual of on the smaller one. You get a map cohomology in this degree. You see the primes have been removed from the second term because the QY eta is the same as QY prime eta prime. So then, in that case, there is a map of cohomology which is compatible with canonical models. Now, this map could be zero. It could be zero for purely local reasons, but we're going to suppose that it's not the case. Maybe I forgot to say that. Now we're going to apply ser-duality. We take it's always the case that if you take the automorphic vector bundle attached to a discrete series representation, you take the dual in the tensor with the top differentials, then that's always so ser-duality gives you an involution of the discrete series, which is just the normal dual, the not the Hermitian dual, the linear dual, and it also induces the corresponding involution of automorphic vector bundles. And this is what you do. I'm going to integrate something. So suppose we have a fixed. So what am I saying here? This I'm saying that pi, there's a pi, which is pi infinity tensor pi f, where pi infinity is this pi y eta, the fixed one. That's what I wrote. And so that's an automorphic representation of G. And we have another automorphic representation of G prime, but in the dual space. Now you can integrate them. And this integral can be interpreted as a serre duality map. Now what I have not said, but I said this is for any f and f prime, in fact, these f and f primes can be the differential forms for the Dolbo realization of these cohomology groups. So this is just interpretation of the pairing of harmonic differentials, in fact, in the language of automorphic forms. It's just an integral. Now, how do I do that? Yes. Oh, yes. I want to put that integral up at the top. So now let's consider, on the other hand, the space of invariant bilinear forms on the tensor product, where now these are invariant under the smaller group. Now this is here's a again, I'm not being very precise about what's happening at infinity, but the way things are written here, this is actually over the group and not over the Lie algebra. So these are actual representations. These are globalizations of the representation. See, there's a start. I've been talking about GK modules all the time, but for the purpose of the statement of this theorem, one actually has to work with C infinity representations of the real group, and that actually is important. So there's a theorem, which is a weak version of the gross cross-out conjecture, due to Eisenbud, Gurevich, Rallis, and Schiffman in the non-Archimedean case, and Sun and Zhu in the Archimedean case, that says that the dimension of this space is at most one. You have a one-dimensional space. It could be zero. Not. It could be zero. It could be one. In fact, when it's zero or one is also in the process of being determined. It's been determined for orthogonal groups. Now, I said on the previous slide that F and F prime were the vector carrying cohomology. In that case, it was a cohomological pairing, but now we're just taking an integral. So now suppose that F and F prime are any vectors in this space that are rational over an appropriate number field for the structure coming from coherent cohomology, then the pairing is in the field L. So L is a number field. You can think of these as just Q bar, simpler. And the point I'm trying to make is one doesn't have to assume that F and F prime are the vectors in the cohomology. There are any vectors in these representations. Why is that? But that's because the pairing on the cohomological vectors takes values in L. So these, when I say F and F prime are rational, I mean as cohomology of Shamur varieties, which with its canonical model. Because the cohomological pairing is defined algebraically, whenever you take any integral of rational vectors, you get a number in the same field. And that's a consequence of this multiplicity one, because there's only one pairing. Now there's a more general setting. Suppose pi and pi prime are now any discrete series coherent cohomological representations. That is to say, the Archimedean components are discrete series. And consider the space of invariant bilinear forms. We're going to assume a conjecture, which is that I said a minute ago that the representations were not GK modules. I'm going to assume that that whenever you have a pairing of GK modules that it extends continuously to this representation space. I'm not going to say what the smooth Fréchet completion is. It's technical. The point is that the theorem of Sun and Zhu is in that setting. This is a conjecture on which the specialists are now working. This is a genuine open problem in in real representation theory. So. Then, suppose that the integral is not identically zero. It's possible that the space is of dimension one, but this integral is zero. There are conjectures about when that's the case, and I'll be getting to them. Then there exists a number, which is determined by the spaces pi and pi prime, such that for any rational vectors with respect to coherent cohomology, cohomological structure, the integral is an L multiple of that period. These are called the gross process periods. The gross process conjecture was the multiplicity one, and if the existence of these periods follows from the weak gross process conjecture. And furthermore, again, because of the setup, this is well defined with respect to the Galois action. So, the point is that these period invariants, which are defined relative to a cohomological, the rational structures are defined relative to algebraic geometry, but these periods are purely analytic, and the existence of these periods is purely analytic. Once again, you can use the existence of these periods to test rationality of a vector in the bigger space by integrating it against the test vectors in the smaller space. Once you have a non-trivial pairing, you can test rationality by integration. And when I talked about this in Ann Arbor, this topic in Ann Arbor, as some of you may remember, I was concerned about the first case, the case about where one has cohomological pairing, an algebraic cohomological pairing. But it's only in the last year or so that I realized that one could test rationality by some purely analytic test. So in this way, there is by induction using density theorems like Bourget-Sarnak, for example, you can show that there is a computable criterion for rationality in this setting. So the first case is when W is two-dimensional, W prime is one-dimensional. This is essentially Shimura's theory of CM periods, which is on which the whole theory is built. So now, there may be a non-trivial pairing, but the integral may be identically zero. So this is the subject of another gross process conjecture, but I'm going to talk about the version of Ichino and Ikeda. And before I do this, how am I going to know whether I'm speaking twice as quickly as I should? So, I guess I'll do the same thing as yesterday. So here's the Ichino Ikeda conjecture. So Ichino Ikeda conjecture was written down about 3 or 4 years ago for orthogonal subgroups of orthogonal groups, but there's another version of it for unitary groups, which was the subject of the thesis of Neil Harris under Witek Gahn last year. So now we've got four vectors. We've got pi and pi prime. We also have the dual space because we want to have something equivariant. So here is an expression which is integrals in the two integrals in the numerator, two integrals in the denominator. The integrals in the numerator are on the group. Well, let me write this. So you have we have un. Yeah, I've got time. Un minus one. This is un minus one. Un minus one. And here we have un, un, and un minus one, u n minus 1. One thing you notice is that this is homogeneous. If you change the measures, if you multiply the measures then by constants, you will get something that doesn't depend on the measures. If you multiply the functions by constants, you get something that doesn't depend on them as well. So what you have is an expression that is somehow local, but it's homogeneous and everything. And it's here's a conjecture. So the conjecture is that quotient, which with the four vectors, is equal to the primary term is a ratio of special values of L functions. So what are these L functions? So delta star is a product of elementary factors. It's a product of values of the L function of, so we remember this, I said it's a unitary group, but a unitary group is associated to extension of K over F. Any quadratic extension will do, but I'm only looking at a case where K is totally imaginary and F is totally real. Then the delta star is a product of their N factors, so it better start with L1 eta times zeta F of 2 times L3 eta times up to the last one. So it's L n minus 1 eta to the n minus 1, which may be trivial, where this is the Dedekind zeta function. It's ordered in such a way that this is all some 2 pi I times something, times an algebraic number. Vs is local product of local terms, which I may say something about. And then the L functions are what they look like. Well, how do I define the L functions? The best way to define the first one is to take pi. This is on the unitary group, and this is on GLn of k. This is what I was talking about in my first lecture. Pi prime is pi prime GLn minus 1 of k, and then L of s pi cross pi prime is L of s pi cross pi prime. This is a Rankine-Selberg L function for GLn cross GLn minus 1. And then the adjoint L functions, those are best described on the unitary group. You have the L group of the unitary group. So if we think of pi as corresponding to a homomorphism, R from the Langlands, what's happening? Oh, it happens all by itself, yes, doesn't it? Oh, it's been going a long, long way. Oh, right. Thank you. I'm coming at traction. So if you imagine that pi is associated to some Langlands parameter, then R, maybe I'd better call it phi, then this is L S phi, and then we have the representation, the adjoint representation onto the algebra of L of G, which is GLN. Then this is this Langlands L function. Okay. Now suppose I said that this ratio of product was completely homogeneous, so we can multiply by any scalars, but let's now suppose that F, all four of the data our rational coherent cohomology classes. Then I've given you expressions. This is not exactly an equality. The right-hand side, which was, I'd better, there. This period can be rewritten up to algebraic multiples as a product. The numerator can be written in terms of the gross product periods, and the denominator in terms of these normalized Petersen norms. So here's a rational version of the Ichino-Ikeda conjecture, which is that these this expression is up to some elementary terms and then some integrals, local integrals. It's a ratio of values of L functions. Now this can be turned this can be viewed from a number of directions, but the interesting direction is to start with the L functions on the right, and then try to express them in terms of what's on the left. So again, because the period invariants have been defined equivariantly with respect to the action of the Galois group, this means that we have an expression that's equivariant with respect to the action of the full Galois group. All right, now before I continue, this morning I saw posted on the archive a paper by Sakalaridis and Venkatesh, for whom this Ichino-Ikeda conjecture is just one of an infinite but controlled collection of potential conjectures. Whenever you have a situation where there are multiplicity one properties, where the integral has a multiplicity one expression, then it should be either naturally something simple, something rational, or it should be an expression in specialized L functions. So this is one of a family of expressions for L functions. There are people. So the big open question, which I called a conjecture, is whether this is true or not, or whether the other one is true. But there's progress is extremely rapid, so I feel it's worthwhile to see what the consequences would be for special values of L functions. So now suppose both spaces are positive definite, then the cohomology. Well, you can assume that these Shamur varieties are Shamur varieties with essentially a trivial algebraic structure. They're profinite sets in that case. You can just make them all defined over Q. And then, so there's nothing going on in the pairing. The left-hand side can be taken to be algebraic. And so, when there are non-trivial pairings for positive definite spaces, what that's saying is that the right-hand side is supposed to be an algebraic number, and it gives you an expression for that with Galois covariance. So this is now the question is this compatible with Deligne's conjecture for the right-hand side? It's an open question. It so happens, now this is not so hard to establish. It's so for motives. Yes, I will be. Yes, I will be. Mm-hmm. Right. So the L functions are related to periods, and I will. Yeah. So the idea is that the L functions are related to certain determinants of periods of integrals of differential forms against the homology cycle. Deligne's conjecture applies when the special value are rational, are critical in the sense he defines. it turns out, one can check, and then Dick Gross says he has a reason for this. One can check that that these are always, in fact, critical. So in other words, Deligne's conjecture applies to all these things. I should maybe say that there are some low-dimensional cases of this conjecture. So when n equals 2, then this is basically a theorem of Waldsperger. When n equals, that's the only case for unitary groups. On for orthogonal groups, for there's some corresponding pairings. I could just write this down. These things have been checked in some cases. So for orthogonal groups, you have SO2 containing SO3. This is again basically Waldsperger. Then there's the case of SO3 in SO4, and this is the topic of my paper with Steve Kudla, where, among other things, we didn't. It wasn't written in this form yet. And this is a refinement of what we proved. And it's been proved, in fact, by Ichino in that case, and that's. But we studied the Deligne's conjecture in these terms, especially for the numerator. And but now they're always critical, and so we can rewrite the conjecture in terms of Deligne's conjecture. So what are these C pluses? These C pluses, Deligne's conjecture, very simply, says that. When M is critical, so M critical for the motive M, then L of M, M is essentially C plus of M, M. He defines, this of course does not say anything unless you actually define this, but there's an independent definition in terms of integrals of, as I say, differentials, parts of the, depending on the Hodge filtration. And this is so these periods, in Deligne's conjecture, the m's are always integers, and this 1/2 is the unitary normalization, but it really, in the motivic normalization, it's an integer. So again, this is a Galois equivariant version of this conjecture. Now, some open questions. That now the to return to this, the right hand side is an expression of periods defined algebraically by Deligne. The left hand side is a collection of periods defined analytically by means of multiplicity one properties. Right? Integrals. If you believe the Ichino-Ikeda conjecture, then these things should be the same. They should be related. So here is a question that to which I will refer later. This is not obviously relevant to what I just said. But suppose you pick pi and pi prime. Can you twist pi prime by a character of finite order so that the L value in the numerator is non-zero? You see, if the period is always, if the L value is always zero, you're not getting any information about C plus. So if you can do this, if you can find twists, the way things work, if you can find one twist, then there are infinitely many twists. And this is an open question. I think the analytic number theorists know how to do this when n equals 2. And beyond that, it's completely open. stronger version, you want chi to be out unramified outside a fixed finite set of primes. Here's a weaker version. For fixed pi, is there a pi prime of fixed infinity type? Is there a pi prime of fixed infinity type such the L value doesn't vanish? The answer is yes, in fact. That's, I think, proved by in one way or another by Ginsburg, Zhang, and Rallis, although I don't know whether they ever wrote up the unitary case. But now I'm asking something stronger than that. I want pi prime to be obtained by functorial transfer from a product of U1s and a fixed infinity type. So I have a reason to ask that question. Well, there are expressions for all, not only for the two Dineen periods in the denominator, in terms of the automorphic periods I defined previously. So that's a fact. Express in here, one has to be careful what one's talking about. Dineen's conjecture is based on some sort of adequate theory of motives, and in particular, he assumes a lot of conjectures about motives, for example, Tate's conjecture and so on. Without Tate's conjecture, it doesn't make that much sense. But if you make this assumption, then there are ways to express Dineen's periods in terms of something more elementary, accessible in any case. It can be shown, and I will say something about this later, that the Ichino, if you assume the Ichino Ikeda conjecture in the definite case, plus a positive answer to the weaker version of the question, which I think was B, then you can actually get Dineen's conjecture for the adjoint representation. So most people are interested in the numerator, that's the central value, which is the one that can vanish, and consider the denominator, which are the edge values, the adjoint representations, is a kind of error. But what I'm saying is that one can say something about the special value of the adjoint L function. So this has been checked for n even and quadratic imaginary fields. Now, for n equals 2, this was not yet Dineen's conjecture. This was a theorem of Shimura on one of the results on which Dineen based his conjecture. For the L function of a elliptic modular form, the adjoint L function. And in fact, this played an important role in the beginning of Hedda theory, the nature of the special value, and the deformation theory of Galois representations. Well, the deformation theory of Galois representations is associated with this very specific L value. So in the two-dimensional case, there is a direct link between this question and deformation theory of Galois representations as Weyl started. So there's a theorem, for example, of Diamond, Flock, and Guo, which is the Bloch-Kato theorem for this, the strongest version of this special, almost the strongest version, it's still not quite complete, for the exact value of this L function. In the case of elliptic modular forms, that's been generalized to Hilbert modular forms by Dimitrov. But for n greater than 2, I know of no other method to say anything about this special value, and I've been looking for one for quite a long time. Here's a Piatek open question. So So I'm now assuming that Deneen's period can be normalized even more precisely, so that you get Deneen's conjecture is about rational, is about getting the L value up to a rational multiple. But now I assume that it can be determined up to an integral multiple. The question is, can pi prime be found for a fixed pi prime p? Can you vary pi prime so that p does not divide the numerator? If this were possible, then you could actually say quite a lot about the p-adic valuation of the normalized special values. These formulas can also be used to construct p-adic L functions as pi varies in a p-adic family, for example. But you would need to know p-adic L function for the adjoint representation, but you need to be able to control the numerator. So that's the motivation, one of the motivations for this. So now I'm going to try to say something about how one goes about proving theorems like this. So as I said, pi is an automorphic representation of the unitary group, but it has a stable base change, pi, which I erased to GLN. I assume that it's cuspidal. And if the infinitesimal character is what Shin calls a slightly regular, this is identified first in a paper, Blazius Mergelsky, then there is a rank n motive in the geometric object over k, or maybe possibly a quadratic extension of k, with coefficients in a specific number field. When I say a rank n motive, I mean it's actually cohomology of a piece of the cohomology of Shimura variety with all the associated cohomology groups and the comparison theorems. And the property is that it's relevant to the L function. It's the L function of S with pi or capital pi, either one. So we have we can understand the L function in terms of genuine variety, but there's also a Hodge-Durham structure, which means we can look at the differential forms. The differential forms are nothing more than the cohomology classes in the coherent cohomology classes I talked about yesterday. So yesterday I wrote down the Hodge decomposition. So I'm going to write it as in graded sense. Then each graded piece is isomorphic to a one-dimensional rational subspace of coherent cohomology of a unitary group Shimura variety of this signature. That's not quite true. Maybe it would be of signature 1n, in fact. There are some cases where one has to allow endoscopic forms, but that's not so important. Now, remember I defined the qi attached to representation small pi, but remember I said, so we have this pi again, but now there's a whole collection of pi's. This is the L packet, and I'll consider these pi i's, I going from 0 to n minus 1, to be indexed by their Archimedean factor. The discrete series L packet in this case has n members for u1, n minus 1. And so what I've got is I've got qi of pi is just the what I call q of pi I previously. This is the Pedersen norm on the Shimura variety, which is defined rationally. And this is now I associate it to capital pi because the motive depends only on capital pi, as the L function does. So we have this is one of the terms I already defined, and it's there's a little bit. That's if there's if it's quite imagine a quadratic. If otherwise, one needs some additional data, but I'll of the act, I'll be speaking as if the field is imaginary quadratic. So in other words, the theory I described at the beginning of the rational structure of the coherent cohomology, coherent cohomological representation gives you some data which can be interpreted motivically. Now, this is in that sentence, I'm using the Q of pi. Pi is now on some group G, some unitary group G. So pi is in an automorphic representation of G, but G is a unitary group, but it's not necessarily of signature 1 and minus 1. So in addition to this pi, we have a whole lot of other automorphic representations of various inner forms. This is, say G1 and minus 1. And then all the other forms, you have lots of other pis. Basically, there are essentially 2 to the n distinct pi infinities as you let the inner forms vary. Strong inner forms. It's because there you have the UPQ, where P plus Q equals N. That's if there's one Archimedean, that's if there's one complex place, and if there are more complex places, it's 2 to the N times the number, times the F over Q pi. And so there are 2 to the N of these invariants, but okay. So starting from this pi, we get a whole lot of these invariants. Now, if you admit the Tate's conjecture, then naturally, by linear algebra, you can express each of the Q of pi is in terms of the qi of pi, which are the q of pi i's. Right? So there are n elementary ones, and all the other ones are products of them. Or rather, n times d elementary ones for the... Let's assume that k is imaginary quadratic, so I don't have to keep saying this. There are n elementary ones, then each of the other ones is given by a product. In fact, every product, it's pretty obvious, there are 2 to the n possibilities, there are 2 to the n possible products, and those give you all the Q of pi's. Here's the formula. If we have a product of over the real places, then each Q of pi should be a product of this many distinct Qi of pi's. This is written up more or less carefully in my paper with Lee and Sun in the Steve Kudla volume. Now, this is code for a lot of matrix calculations. In general, these Deneen periods, if you start with a general variety, then you have to have homology classes in order to define the Deneen periods. You have to take half the homology classes and half the differentials, and then you take the matrix of the integrals of the one against the other. Like if it's of rank n, then you have a n over 2 squared, roughly, periods, and you get a determinant with those. But under the circumstance, when pi is the sort that comes from a unitary group, which means it has a certain symmetry property, then the calculations simplify, and you can actually express all of the Deneen periods in terms of the qi pi's, and likewise for pi primes. So here, a whole lot of questions about relations among these analytically defined constants arise from the Ichino-Ikeda conjecture and from the forthcoming conjectures, no doubt. So here's an expression. This is after a few pages of matrix calculations, this is what comes out. It's a certain power of pi, and then just product to these powers. I think if n is odd, there may be another square root of something or other. So now the question. So when I said that one can verify Lilien's conjecture for this particular special value, I mean with this abstract matrix determinant of periods replaced by something related to that. Okay. Now here's the special case. When pi prime is of abelian type, which is, means it's a transfer from u1 to the n-1, then the L function breaks up as a product of n-1 L functions of the unitary group for Hecke characters. But something like 20 years ago, I proved a version of Lilien's conjecture for those special values. And the other part is simple. So this is being generalized by Gerberov to CM fields. Now here's where that open question comes in. Suppose you can choose the chi j so that all these special values, the L functions, do not vanish, and this means they have to be chosen with specific infinity types. So remember, what one has is L of pi 1/2 pi cross pi prime divided by L of 1 pi add and L of 1 pi prime add. And if one has an expression for this, one gets an expression for that. So when I said that I could prove this, it was assuming this non-vanishing. So, open question, which is, yeah?
Do you have an expression for this in terms of, when you have
so let me write down the algebra. So I have this. So I have L of 1/2 pi cross pi prime over L of 1 pi add L of 1 pi prime add is equal to, on the one hand, C plus of 1/2 pi cross pi prime. That's by the theorem I already mentioned, is equivalent to over L of 1 pi add times C plus of 1 pi prime add. On the other hand, if you believe the Ichino-Ikeda conjecture, this is essentially an elementary term times, say, Q bar. I'm assuming that these are both, this is on in the definite case. So the P pi pi prime is an algebraic number. Okay? So this says that L of 1 pi add is essentially this elementary part, which is the power of pi, times C plus 1 pi prime add divided by C plus 1/2 pi cross pi prime. Okay? Now you take the expressions that one already knows for these in terms of those qi of pi's, and you check that it's the same one that I'd given there, And the answer is that's what you get. Nevertheless, one has to assume the take conjecture in order to... What one gets is an expression that assuming the take conjecture would be equal to these things. What? And the Ichi no Iki de conjecture, and the non-vanishing. So there are a lot of things being assumed. The C pluses are in terms of so what I proved some time ago was that this is a product. Each term is a Q of something holomorphic, and then there's the take conjecture says that the Q for holomorphic forms on different signatures can be expressed as product of QIs, and then there's some other part that comes from the pi prime that gets neatly cancelled by what's in the numerator. Okay, so without dwelling on how many conjectures have been assumed, nevertheless, the same logic implies if you take different signatures, if W and W prime are no longer definite, that all the gross prosite periods should be expressible in terms of special values of L functions and cohomological periods. In other words, should all be expressed in terms of cohomological periods. So this pairing, which is, as I said, defined purely transcendentally without any algebraic meaning, is supposed to give you back these periods that you get algebraically, motivically. But there's another. Now, if you don't care about the take conjecture and the non-vanishing conjecture, nevertheless, there are applications to p-adic L functions. If you don't care precisely what the period invariant is, just to look at the if you assume still the Ichi no Iki de conjecture, you can study the integrality properties of this one in terms of these. Mm-hmm. The Q's here, the definite ones, the Q's are all algebraic. But the Q's that show up here are not, of course. There. That's because here this L value in general can be so on the left hand side you only get the periods for the definite form. On the right hand side the Dean's conjecture involves the Q's for the indefinite ones, for the indefinite ones. Let me just say one more thing. This non-vanishing conjecture is an open question, but there are at least cases where one can prove that some central values of L functions don't vanish using the existence of p-adic L functions. For ordinary families, but this is a collaboration that's been going on for a number of years, and it's not clear when it's ever going to get written down. So I think I have one other thing to say.